Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so excited to have you here with us tonight and every Tuesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you please join us now in devotion?
Good evening, everyone. We thank you for joining us here in the United States as well as around the world to join us in praise at Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the word is explained. Tonight we'll be starting off with song, scripture, and then prayer. Tonight's prayer or tonight's song is simply, I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. So we hope you enjoy our devotions this evening, and we'll be going directly into the subject. Enjoy this evening. God bless you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today, because you care for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you and I lift you up. I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. Oh, my heart, oh, my mind, my soul belongs to you. You paid the price for me way, way, way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. And I lift you up, I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. No, I love you, I love you, I love you, Lord, today, because you cared for me. You cared for me in such a special way. That's why I praise you and I lift you up. I magnify your name, I magnify your name. That's why my heart is filled with it. That's why my heart is filled with it. That's why my heart is filled with it.
Pray. Amen, amen. We'll be reading from the scripture, 1 Corinthians 13 chapter, the 1st to the 13th verse. And I'll be reading from the new NIV translation. And it reads, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May God add a blessing to those who heard the word of God and the reading of it. Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Nick, would you pray for us, please?
God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your love, which passes all understanding. And we ask you, God, to help us to see ourselves, that we might be better lovers, that we might love people even as you love people. God, help us to be an example of love. Help us to share you with other people. We ask you to bless this Bible study tonight, that we would be used by you to help tell others about your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We are so excited tonight as we are dealing with the topic of what does it mean to be a Christian? And the first week we talked about Christians are changed people. Praise the Lord for change. And it's funny when folks don't really want to use the word to talk about it, but that's kind of what's required if you're going to be a Christian. You got to be willing to have change in your life. You got to look for it, ask for it, seek it. Amen. And we talked about Christians are changed people. And then the week after, following, we talked about Christians are believers in Christ. And so then last week we talked about the 16th, Christians are not ashamed of who they are, and they are people that love. Dr. Nix, are you ready to teach us the rest of this?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go.
Amen. Thinking about Black History Month, I think about the spirituals, and the spirituals are great teachers of theology. And one of the great spirituals is, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart. And I look at so many people that say they're Christians, and even the people that are running for office, we see them saying they're Christians, and people, I guess, trying to out-Christian other Christians. And it's amazing to me. And so I know that people get confused about it because it's confusing. So I wanted us to look at what does it really mean to be a Christian. And the slaves, when they sang, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, they were going to Bible studies and prayer meetings and worship services where they had to sit in the back of the church or someplace else and hear people talk about the love of Christ, and then they beat them with whips and hung them and killed them and raped them. And I imagine it would be hard to imagine really what the, how these people could say that they're Christians. So the psalm says, Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, looking at all the, that goes on. We wanted to look at this issue. What does it mean to be a Christian? And tonight, in a very basic form, Christians are people that love. And I know that sometimes it can be also confusing about what it means to love. So we want to tonight maybe get a definition of love from 1 Corinthians 13. And we want to get some scriptures if we have time about we're commanded to love. And then we are challenged to serve when we love. So we're going to try to get to those areas. But I'd like to start out the discussion by just asking, first of all, who's online, sort of to have a roll call. I know Dr. Susie's online, and I know Mark is online, Mark Bryant. Who else do we have online?
This is Eric.
Hello, Eric. How you doing?
I'm here. I'm making it. Thank you.
Well, good. Praise God.
This is Brett.
Hi, Brett. What would we like
evening.
To? Good evening. Is that Lester? We'd like to ask a question from those that are online. Can you give or share some examples of love from the Bible or from your life in general? Share some examples of what it means to really love.
This is Eric. From the Bible, one that comes to my mind is Ruth. When you read the book of Ruth, that speaks of nothing but love that Ruth had for her mother-in-law, Naomi, after the death of her husband, after the death of Ruth's husband and Naomi's husband and the other sons of her, the sister-in-law's husband, that she followed her anywhere and said, wherever you go, I'll go. Where your people will be my people, your God will be my God. Where you sleep, I'll sleep. Basically, where you eat, I'll eat. That was an act of love, without a doubt.
Amen. Amen. Brett, can you share some examples of love from the Bible? Mark? Everybody on mute?
This is Brett.
Okay.
If you're talking about love from the Bible, the followers that Jesus had, when Mary and them followed him along with the disciples, that was love. Because she was the first person to go to the tomb after he had risen. So...
Amen.
When you talk about love, there's plenty of love right there.
Amen.
This is Eric again. I venture to say that, in all honesty, the Bible itself is a story of love.
Amen.
God's love for mankind.
Amen. And Christ's love for people and Christ's sacrificial death has got to be an example of love. Certainly that we should follow or try to emulate. Greater love had no man than this, and he laid down his life for a friend. And Christ laid down his life even for people that were not his friends. Greatest
Amen.
Example of love that we could ever imagine. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, just like Eric said, the Bible is a book. It's a love book. rather than seeing it as something to beat people over the head with, the Bible is a book of love. So understanding that we have some definitions of love from the Bible, and I know that we have many definitions of love in our personal lives also, I want us to take a look at a definition of love. And let's get into this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And Dr. Susie read it before. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. If somebody got that, or Dr. Susie, did you want to read that again?
This is Eric. I've got it in the New Living Translation.
Okay.
It says, if I could speak in any language in heaven or on earth, but didn't love others, I would only be making meaningless noise like a loud gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I knew all the mysteries of the future and knew everything about everything, but didn't love others, what good would I be? And if I had the gift of faith so that I could speak to a mountain and make it move, without love, I would be no good to anyone. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would be of no value whatsoever. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record when it has been wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. The prophecy in speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will disappear. Now, we know only a little. Even the gift of prophecy reveals little. But when the end comes, these special gifts will all disappear. It's like this. When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child does. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly as in a poor mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely just as God knows me now. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love.
Amen.
Amen. So I'd like to hear from our people that are on the line. What did you get? What does that definition of love say to you? What speaks to you the most from that passage of 1 Corinthians 13?
Well, this is Eric. Of course, it's a lot of stuff in there, but highlighted in my Bible is verses 4 through 7. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record when it is wrong, when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. And what I would tell people is that I think we all should strive for that. And when we fall short, to work on that, because never to give up, never to lose hope, and to endure through every circumstance, through the circumstance when somebody maliciously hurts you, when somebody maliciously calls you everything but a child of God, to not give up, to think that everything is fine, and to look at that person and say, you know what, I know what you did, I love you, in spite of that, because of that, that's pretty powerful. And I, You know, I know I fall short from that every day. I mean, I love my wife dearly, but I can't say that I meet all those criteria dealing with her day to day. I'm going to be honest. I can't say that. I can't say that I'm always patient. I can't say that I'm always kind. I try to be. I can't say that I'm not jealous. You know, it's certain things or certain, I can't tell you that I'm not irritable when she calls my name and I don't want to be bothered. I'm sitting there trying to watch the game or I'm sitting there reading and I get a call. I need you to do this. I can't tell you that I don't get irritable by that at some time. I can't tell you that I don't forget. We say, well, you know, that what's that old saying? Forgive and forget. You know, yeah. I might forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hold on to it somewhere at some point in time. Hopefully I don't ever use it, but given how we know we can be at some point in time if I get the adage to our will. There's a lot in there, and if I do a little something else with those verses and I insert the name of Jesus and it gives me a clear picture of what I am to try to become. So for me, Dr. Nooks and everyone else on the line, it's 4 through 7. I mean, that's a criteria that's very difficult to measure ourselves by, but we are called to if we are children of God and Christ-like, Christ followers.
Amen. Anyone
Amen.
Else?
Amen. This is Mark. My
yeah.
definition of love would be, along with what's just been said, is the timeless, unconditional direction of Jesus. Direction and guidance of Jesus. The timeless and unconditional guidance of Jesus. And the reason I say that is because, when he was just speaking of love is patience, love is kindness, love goes beyond a condition. That's what love is. What I think is so interesting in the last scripture where it says God is faith, it didn't say that, but they're of faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest of them all. And what I think is so interesting is because without faith, you can't believe in Christ. But Christ says love is the greatest of them all. And so it's almost as God is saying to us all that this is part of my body. This is who I am. And if you have me, you have, you know, the greatest of all that I am. And I think it's just so interesting that he's placed that as the greatest versus faith being the greatest.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like for us to look at those first three verses, and I agree 4 through 7 is great. But let's look at number 1 and number 2 and number 3 there, because I think it's important because we put a lot of importance in some things in church. And listen to what Paul says, and this is the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, and some scripture says unknown tongues, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. Nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, this is being a philanthropist, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Maybe sort of institutions that we have and understandings of what is important in the church and maybe what is important to God. What does that say to you, those first three verses?
This is Eric again. It clearly speaks again that it's not about your works.
Amen.
You know, some of that stuff is works, and in a lot of our churches we talk that game of, you know, love, but it's really about works. It's about, you know, what do you do around the church, how much money you give, how many people are you bringing into the service and all that. But it really isn't about that. It's about love, because if you love, if you're loving, all those other things are going to be done just because you want to do them, because
Amen.
You love the church that you're at, because you love God, and so you're going to do all those other things. And so to me it speaks to that love is the cornerstone that God has built this church on, and saying that if you have love, all this other stuff will happen. So if you've got all that other stuff and you don't have love, you don't have anything. You're not getting close to God.
My Lord, yes. So it's foundation. Look at the motivation that people have, because you could give stuff. Sacrifice. You could speak in tongues. You can do, maybe you could sing well. You could have all kind of gifts and all this kind of stuff. But if the motivation behind it is not love, then it's nothing. I mean, it's the importance of love for a Christian is just foundational. So I think those three verses kind of point that out. And then it talks about, you know, in verse 8, prophecy and speaking in tongue, unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. You know, so the gifts that we have now will become useless, but love is going to last forever.
This is Eric again. Isn't that amazing that those things are not relevant to God? We're able to use them now in order to reach other folks, but when we get to God, it's all going to be about love.
Amen.
It's not going to be about your unknown languages, speaking in tongues. It's not going to be about your prophecy and all that. It's going to be about love. For you to be in the presence of God, it's going to be about love, because that's what that says to me, Dr. Nooks.
I've
known to be misguided a few times, but that's what that says to me, is that when it comes to you really being with God, it's going to be about love. It's not going to be about all that stuff that we on earth think is important.
Amen. Amen. And what do we do when, you know, when somebody asks you, even, I mean, I would go to conventions and people would give an account of what they've done, and they'd run down, you know, I visited the sick, I gave to the poor, I did this, I did that, you know, and it's really amazing. All that stuff to God, if you don't love, doesn't mean a thing.
Yeah.
No. It's like, why don't you just go
somewhere and sit on the sideline, because you're right, it doesn't mean anything.
Amen.
But how do we, this is Eric, so how do we, how do we get our brothers and sisters in our churches to see that or connect with that? I mean, the first thing would be, of course, would be to model it, without a doubt.
Amen.
I mean, you know, you have to model that in order to be able to talk to somebody else about it. But I think that, you know, and I feel that in a lot of our churches, that gets lost in our preaching and teaching. You know, we teach about all the other stuff, but we don't do a very good job of that anymore. And I just wonder how we get back to that. I know each denomination, each church is different, each pastor, teacher is different, but I think for us that are here and we come into contact with people, that we get to talking about that is the most important thing, because, you know, God is clearly saying that, you know, love is the most important thing. All this other stuff will pass away. Love is the most important thing. That's an eye-opener this evening.
Come before God and just say, God, you know, I love people. And that's good enough. That's good enough. But it's not all about that other stuff, and it's just so important. It's amazing the importance we put in the other stuff. And just like you're saying, Brother Eric, and maybe how little importance we put in the love. We say it, but do we really demonstrate it? Do we really have it?
Yeah, and this is Eric again, and I think that word in our modern time has been, you know, used and abused and not really, you know, used in the quite the right context. And I know I used to always try to think of, you know, what could be used to replace that to show that the sincerity of what love means. Because, I mean, you know, when you hear somebody that's abusing a spouse and say, well, I do that because I love you, you can't be loving me if you're hitting on me. I'm sorry. I ain't buying that one.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you hear people say that. Or, you know, well, I love you, but I'm going to go spend all the money out the bank and you're not going to be able to buy groceries this week because I'm going to the strip club. But no, I ain't hearing that. You ain't loving me if you're doing that. Because if you're loving me, you're not doing that. You coming home.
Amen.
You know, and I mean,
it's
we
not
hear
just,
people.
Yeah. It's not just those obvious extroverted things, but it's also you not loving me if you're withholding from me your love. If you're doing it as a means of trying to control and to punish.
Absolutely, Dr. Susie. That's
Amen.
Absolutely correct. Yeah, and you're not loving me if you're you know, sitting over there, you know, scheming on how you're going to get something out of me instead of just asking me, but you making out this long, drawn-out plan, calculations, well, if I do this, then he'll do this, and then she'll do this, and that ain't loving me. I mean, if you can't, I guess I look at it that as I know who I am and I know that God loves me, so when I go before God in my prayer time and in my time of devotion, I mean, I'm going as I am, knowing that he's going to accept me as I am. No pretenses, no saying, you know, well, Eric, you got to go back and do this before you can come here. I mean, he's going to accept me. And so those people that we deal with, even, and I ran into this today, as a matter of fact. I walked in the office today after being sick for 2 weeks and got back in the office today, and the first three things I had to deal with was people who were not satisfied with what we were trying to do to help them. And I got to thinking about, and I had to tell one lady, I said, you know, as long as we meet our obligation to you that we are required to by the federal government to get you off the street and house you, I've done legally all I need to do. Now, this other stuff that you bring into me that's not our responsibility, I will see what I can do to assist you. But what I need you to understand in truth is that we have been over backwards trying to assist you for months. And at every turn, you have told us no, 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 no. And we finally get you into a place, and now that's not satisfying for you too. I said, you should have done the research on the front end of that. But I'm going to work to do this. And I told her, I said, so, and I asked her a question. I said, so what is it that you want me to do? And she says, well, I need to find a house that's on the bus line. I need to find housing that's on the bus line. And I told the staff member who was sitting there, I said, you find her a house, housing that's on the bus line, that's directly on the bus line. And if she tells you no, you tell her at that point that we can't do anything else for you. Because the authenticity of love means that you should be able to have some frank conversations with some folks in a loving manner that will help them to see the light for their edification. And Dr. Susie, help me if I'm wrong on this, and I think that's a piece that we miss as well.
Well,
I hear you. To be truthful. Yeah. I just want to read verse 4 through 7 again, because this is really the definition. Read it again.
This is Eric again. This is the New Living Translation. Unless somebody has another version that they'd like to read. Well, this one says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record when it has been wrong. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance.
My Lord. So that's the kind of love that we seek. And I think all of us are humbled by that, and I think all of us fall short. But this is the kind of love that we need to be striving to exercise. And I mean, it's something that a bell ought to go off when we're not kind, when we're jealous and boastful and worrying about who got our and wanting to have our way. If we are on a committee or we're on the deacon board, and if we can't have things
Lord,
our way, we take our marbles and go home. You know, take the keys to the church and go home. Or you know, and when we give up, and Lord, this is an important one, because many of us can just walk away and say, I'm tired of this mess. I'm just not going to deal with it anymore. Now, sometimes God will lead you in another direction, but sometimes we just give up too easily, and we lose faith. Love does not lose faith.
Mm.
Love still
mm.
has faith.
Love does not lose faith.
Mm. Is it?
Wow.
We with our
so let me put it out there. But you know, I got to put this out there. So, you know, I know there's some folks out there listening. So I'm in a relationship and my spouse is cheating on me. And I love them. Don't get me wrong, I love them, and you know, the context, I don't perceive that I've done anything to make them want to do that. I can't give up, and I can't lose faith on that love and say, you know, hey, I got to go. Because that's a real-world question for some folks that's probably listening to that.
To love somebody does not necessarily mean that...
You got to be a fool, right?
It does not necessarily mean that you're supposed to be with them either. There's
okay.
If you look at agape love, unselfish love, if somebody wants to walk away from you and you want to hold on to them and they don't love you, is it for you to try to stay with them or
you need to let them go.
I mean, even your children. You think about it, your children, some people want to hold on to their children forever. Sometimes your children need to go. I mean, that's not saying you don't love them.
Amen.
Because loving them does not mean that you have to hold on to them forever.
Is Brother Carver on the line? Because did he tell us a couple weeks ago that that's exactly what him and his wife did? The kids wouldn't go, so they left him.
But that's
Mark, didn't he tell us that?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And it was the exact truth too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, and so Luke, the reason that I bring that up because I do know that there are some folks out there who may find themselves in that situation and have to answer that question.
Brother Chop is right there. Speak up, Lester.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought I remembered that him saying that.
Yeah,
but,
yes, you remembered it correctly.
Okay, but I know that there are some people that have faced that or will face that, and only because you know they may be in a situation that may not be meant for them, and it doesn't. They can still love that person and understand that. Listen, that's just you, and that's just how you are, and that's not what I'm looking for. So I'm going to go ahead and make a move and do what I need to do. I mean, and what I would tell people is that you have to search for that within yourself and what God would have you to do, because you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. The scripture says that if you are saved and you're dwelling with someone that's unsaved, don't just leave them because they're not unsaved, because you being with them has cover over them as well. And if they do well to stay with you, then stay with them. But if they want to leave, then let them go.
There you mm-hmm. go. Yeah. And we got to understand that there's different types of love, and Dr. Susie has talked about this a lot of times. You know, we're looking at agape love here, which is, you know, an unsaved, selfish love, not looking for anything. And, you know, this is not romantic love. You know, there's a love that supersedes all those other kind of loves, brotherly love, romantic love, family love. This is a love that is not jealous. They don't care what you've done. This kind of love, when the prodigal son took everything and went and had his thing, and the father didn't care what he had done. He just was happy to see his son. And that's the kind of love we're talking about here, the kind of love that God has for us. When we run around and do our own thing and mess up and hurt people and hurt ourselves and hurt everybody, make God cry, and then God still loves us anyhow. You know, so this is the kind of love that we need to be displaying somewhat, you know, to other people. This is the kind of love that I think the people in the world are seeking. They want to see it. They want to feel it. And when they go to church a lot of times, they don't feel it. They don't see it.
Amen.
And they wonder, what is this? You know, where is it at? As the people tell me God loves me, but I walk into church and like you said, Eric, they don't even want to talk to you. You sit down and they tell you to move because you're in somebody else's seat. You know, crazy stuff like that. And
and they have always been led to believe that. That's where you find that kind of love, is at the church. That
Amen.
Was the cornerstone of the church.
Amen. Amen. So, we are, any other, oh my goodness, it's almost, the time has flown by. Just a scripture, we are commanded to love. One script, Matthew 22:37-40. Can somebody get that for us? Matthew 22:37-40.
Yeah. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the other commandments and all that they demand and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments."
Amen.
Amen.
So that's a command, isn't it?
So yeah, that Jesus is. Said,
if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love Jesus? Amen. Keep my commandments.
Amen.
Amen. We say we love him.
Amen. We say we do. I want to be more like Jesus every day, but I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to get on the cross.
Well, this is Britt. So you're saying that we need to have unconditional love.
Amen.
Because it has no conditions on it. From what we've been reading and what we've been teaching each other here, it's an unconditional love. And
Amen.
You can only get unconditional love when you respect yourself. And once you respect yourself, you can love yourself. When you love yourself, you can love others. That's the problem that we have in the church. You got a lot of people in church that don't love themselves.
Well,
and people are sick. People sitting with them right next to him every Sunday.
So, Brother Brett, this is Eric. Brother Brett, this is Eric. What can we do to help those folks to start loving themselves?
I think we have to start.
First of all,
go ahead, Dr. Susie.
Amen. I mean, the reality is people have to realize where they are first. They're not going to be able to move anywhere until they acknowledge where they are. Everybody has to realize the position and the situation they're in to be able to move towards any paradigm.
Well, didn't our Christ help people to understand where they were through his dialogue and through his ministry? And enough of which, because if we see somebody like that, I mean,
amen.
I mean, it goes back to the old saying that a person who is an alcoholic or a drug addict or a sex addict, whatever the addict they are, whatever the issue they have, if they won't acknowledge it, if they won't see where they are, then they can't move anywhere because they have to be the one to acknowledge and to recognize where they are. You know, even God in the book of Revelation, that's what it says, the preacher had to bring to the people's attention in the church of Ephesus, look, you don't love me like you used to. And when you understand that you don't love me like you used to, then you can turn away from what it was you're doing, turn back to me, repent, then move in another direction. And so what
Dr. Susie, that's what I'm trying to get at, is that if we can see that and then we can be a vehicle to help them, it's not just telling you're an alcoholic, you need to get help. It's in the dialogue of saying with love that, you know,
absolutely,
this is the perception, this is what's going on, take a look at things and let's see what we can do to assist. I mean, we have a tendency as you're an alcoholic, you need to get help. Or you're an alcoholic, I'm not helping you, I don't want to be around you. But that's what I'm saying. God brought to their remembrance that they didn't love him as he used to. He could have just said, I'm smiting all of you and been done with it. So I don't care if you love me or not. Oof, you're not here.
Yep.
And so what I'm trying to get to is that how can we who are Christ-like and Christian fall into a pattern where we are working to do that? Now, yeah, it's going to mean we're going to need some skills and some tools. I absolutely understand that. But shouldn't we be about that?
This is Dr. Susie. It's more fundamental than that. Let's break it on down. The reality is we don't disciple people. If we started off being disciplers in the first place, when people would come in, we would be walking with them to help them through the process. And in that process, there would be self-awareness along the road. So if we disciple people and help them understand where they are in their relationship with God, and if they come into the fold, then they slowly are mentioned to do self-reflection. And self-reflection is what helps them move to the next phase. So if we were doing the prophecies that God called us to do, because it's in the Bible that Jesus said that when he came here, he said his work was not done until he had created the disciples, until he had created the process of making disciples. At that point, then he went to the cross. So what I'm saying is we would get it in the right order and start to disciple people so that we could have this repetitive process of behavior and loving, then we would be able to take people through that process, help them have self-reflection and acknowledgement of where they are, and then move forward from that. So, you know, we just got to teach.
Yeah.
We need to teach. We need to teach. We need to teach. We say that every week, and that's why we have a Bible study, is because we realize that we need to teach, and we need to teach, and we need to teach.
Well, this is Eric. For some folks, it's repetitive, so we just need to keep hammering that home, because that is the central theme of how we get there.
Amen. Over and over.
Amen. And as far as I think, and I agree with Dr. Susie, the discipling is, and we have the example of how Jesus discipled, and Jesus discipled by having people around him and talking and having conversation. And relationships, again, relationships, and we keep talking about relationships. And that's what's missing in a lot of our churches is we have these barriers up. We don't even get to the point of even knowing people. But if you have a discipleship type of situation, then you can get to know people. Then you can share better
And I think people, you can help people better and you can display love better. But when we got all these barriers up in our institutions and how we do things, then it's hard to disciple people. It's hard to get beyond the barriers.
I agree. But do you think that it would help if the pastor would get with the elders of the church and have them go through classes about the love and even reemphasize how important it is that the oath, if they took one for the office that they hold as a deacon or whether it be the elder of the church, that they need to be reminded of that, because a lot of people are so complacent in where they are and they've been there for so long that they forget what the initial purpose of that job is.
Amen. And I have one more scripture and then just a couple of questions. And this is, once we love, we are to serve in our in loving. And somebody read John 21:15-17. John 21:15-17. Somebody have that?
John 21.
I have it.
Okay.
John 21:15-17 read. It says, Jesus, when Peter had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lamb. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted, but when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you and where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and
Amen.
Saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them.
Amen. So
you want me to finish? Okay.
No, that was it. It was only supposed to go to 17.
So oh, I'm sorry.
Good. Oh, that's
okay.
All right. So what does that say about
this is Eric, as an old Isis on. Let's got to go to work. I got work to do.
Amen. Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep.
Amen.
Got to look after them. Got to teach them. Got to train them. Got to love them. Got to pacify them. I mean, you got work to do.
Amen. And you know what's hard for us to understand is that we need to be discipled also. Help take care of us.
That's true. That's very true. And I'm thankful for this group because that helps to get a portion of that done.
Amen. I don't think you get too big to need some help. And I think sometimes we get that in our heads that we don't need help anymore. And sometimes we are still like little children in some ways, and we still need help. Somebody needs to shepherd us and love us.
Well, this is Dr. Susie. I've been discipling this group and people for a very long time, but one of the things I can truly say is you know when a disciple has completed the process when they can replicate the process themselves. And I'm just grateful that many of you have stepped up to the plate and have replicated the process. And I think the rest of you, there are others of you on the line that need to step up and replicate the process and move on to another phase of where God is leading you. So.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to just close it just by asking all of those that are on the line to kind of speak to, we're talking to people that are on the line that maybe They haven't found the love of Christ in the church. Maybe their love, they're not finding love in their life. Christianity, and is it real? And I just want maybe each one of you to kind of speak to the question about love. Are Christians people that love? And maybe speak to them about this issue. That question. Are Christians people?
The Bible says that's how we can determine that we're Christians, is by love. It says we will know they are Christians by their love, how we love one another. And as Christians, that's how you can tell if they don't love, you can know that they're not Christians. You know, we can talk about it all day long, but yet if we have racism, sexism, classism, the isms that separate us from other people, then the reality is we don't truly, authentically love. So I think we have to look at what we consider to be that which, the lens of which we look and versus the lens in which God looks. God has a requirement and a place of accountability that we want to overlook and ignore. But you can't do that. So we're held accountable to love. We are required to love. We can't legislate it, but we have to have something in our hearts that are open, you know, just like worshiping God in spirit and truth. You know, you got to truthfully be loving in your heart. And that's a transformation,
yeah,
just like everything else.
Amen.
Dr. Susie, this is Eric. You're absolutely correct. I guess what I would tell folks from my own perspective, and we talked about, I mean, we want to see that kind of stuff, but it has to be seen in you as well. And then folks will gravitate to you that you can disciple and teach and get them down that path too. And from my perspective, the only way that can be done, and you all know me, is that you've got to spend that time with the Lord. You've got to spend that time, even when you don't want to, reading the Word. You've got to spend that time in prayer. You've got to spend that time in fasting and in psalms and in songs and in hymns. I mean, you've got to spend that time, and you've got to make it a priority. And if those that are listening would make a commitment to say, you know, hey, I'm going to do that 10 minutes a day, you know, for a while, then you'll find it'll go to 15, then it'll go to 30, then it'll go to hour, and then you'll be thinking like, man, I want to do this all the time because I'm learning, I'm growing, I'm feeling that love, and now I can see a change even in me as I deal with people and talk to people. Not saying that you're still not going to have some of those habits that you have because we're human, but you'll start to recognize them and then head those off before they get too far down the path. But I just believe in my heart of hearts that, you know, if you're serious about this love thing and displaying that and discipling and working with people, you got to spend some time with the Lord to work through you and work some stuff out in you so that he can get you, so that God can get you to where it is that he wants you to be and where you want to be. I mean, you just got to do that. And you can't do that haphazardly.
Amen.
You can't do that on Sunday mornings between 11 and 1 and Wednesday Bible studies between 6 and 7. You can't do that. You got to make a commitment to it.
All right. Brett or Mark, you have anything you want to say?
This is Brett. I think if anybody out here really wants to know what it is to be loved, then you need to run to the first church you can get to. And you sit down and talk to the pastor. Because if you really want to be loved, and we're talking about unconditional love, the type of love that parents have for their kids, the type of love that has no boundaries or anything to that, love that will always be there and comfort you and keep you warm and safe when you feel you have nobody else. That type of love you can only get through the Word of God. And so I encourage each and every one that hasn't accepted God as their personal Lord and Savior to do so.
This is Mark. I think if a person wants love, they should increase their prayer life to seek faith and favor from God to develop that relationship and understand that God can show them beyond their circumstance, beyond their situation, that love can not only comfort but also flourish within their lives.
Amen.
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 Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I believe if the person wants love, they have to be loved. If you want love, you have to exemplify that which you want to be. And you have to create a world of love. You've got to manifest that so that people, as I think Brother Eck was saying, can see that being manifested in you. And I think that's the first step. But I would challenge our radio audience tonight, our community of faith out there, and those who are seeking, that this is a season of Lent. It's a time when we can anticipate the victory of light and life of Christ over the darkness of sin and death. It's a time for us to look at, you know, the fact that, you know, we have a time in which we can reflect on what Christ did at the cross. And now would be a very awesome time to begin a process of reading. So we encourage everybody to join in with us, to understand and develop a love relationship with Christ. So to start opening your Bible and start going through the gospel as we are moving towards the season of Lent, which culminates in the Passion Week, and then, of course, you know, the resurrection on Sunday. So I encourage you to join us and to start to staying with the Bible study. And coming back and reading the scriptures. The scriptures are on the radio blog talk. They're also, you can also write to Dr. Susie at loveconnection@gmail.com and ask for scriptures or whatever information you would like to get so that we can help you develop that type of life. And Brother Eric, myself, Brother James, Dr. Nooks would be more than happy and willing to answer any of your questions. Dr. Nooks?
Amen. And I would just encourage you to, you know, not be discouraged. Sometimes if you go and you don't see the love demonstrated in churches or from people that call themselves Christians, but like many of the people have already said, to pray, read the Bible, seek God, and pray that God would lead you to the right church, the right people to disciple you, and understand that God loves you. And sometimes people mess up, but God does it. And God's word is an example of God's love. And understand that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you. And that kind of love is mind-blowing and life-changing. So, Dr. Susie, we'll turn it over to you.
Okay. In your prayer request, praise reports.
This is Eric.
Eric, can you close us in prayer tonight? Go ahead.
Yeah, I can do that. And I'm needing prayer for my health. I have been ill with literally down on my back in bed for about 7-8 days and just trying to get my body back to work in order. And also need prayer for my in-laws who are getting ready to start a new journey. They're selling their house that they've been in for almost 20 years and moving from San Antonio to Houston. And so they're getting ready to start that process, and it hasn't gone easy at this point. So I want to add the Youngs to that prayer list tonight.
This is Mark Bryan. I'm asking prayer for my family, as well as for my business. Businesses ask prayer for Mr. Carver's family, his father, as well as him taking the architectural design exam for California.
This is Dr. Susie. I wanted to lift up Lila. I'd like to lift up Janelle. I'd like to lift up Joey. I'd like to lift up Carrie. And these are people who are in need of prayer for their physical health and strength. I also ask to be lifted up for for God to bless me in my future endeavor. I also ask prayer for my children, James and Sydney.
This is Sean. Can anyone hear me?
Yes, we hear you, Sean.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if I was still on mute or not. Yeah, I just want to lift up in prayer a young lady named Janaea Coates, who's supposed to have brain surgery on the 22nd. Lift up in prayer a young lady named Shira, who's been without a job since April. Also, I ask for prayer for myself and my family, that we would stay in good health and the Lord would meet all of our needs. And also, I have a praise report. My father, they thought he had some type of growth or something on his kidneys. And so they did some testing yesterday and came back and said there was nothing wrong with them. So that was a blessing.
Amen.
And thank God for that.
Amen.
I just pray that God would also lead and guide me and where he would have me to go and what he would have me to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is Dr. Susie. I want to ask for one more thing. I'm doing something creative. I've kind of caused a little ruckus, which is something that I always do. But one day I couldn't get the people to go to Bible study, so I took the Bible study to the church. I just did it in the church during a regular service. And people were kind of really upset about it at first until I did it. And then after I did it, it was such an overwhelming response that people wanted the word. They were craving it. But nobody's, I don't know what that is with that, the people don't want to come out to Bible study, but they enjoy having it in the church. So what we're going to do, and I ask you to pray for this, is that we're going to have Bible study teaching on Sunday, the first Sunday of the month, every Sunday. And we're asking for your prayers so that the enemy can't have wreaking havoc, but that the word would go forth and people would be resurrected, saved, transformed, changed, whatever way you want word for transformed that you can think of, but that Christ would come alive in their lives and the Holy Spirit would be able to abide in them. So, you know, we keep talking about we need to take it to the church. And when we get it at the church, you know, we got to put it out there and see if they're gonna do what it takes. So.
Well, this is James. I want to ask for prayer for some of my coworkers in hospice. They're being overworked and stressed out, and just pray for their comfort. And also want to pray for the death of his friend. And pray for my strength.
This is Brett. I just want to ask everybody to pray for this country in the direction that this election is going to go. We need somebody that's got some sense. And I'm just asking that.
My Lord.
And I'm just asking that we pray for our president and his family, that God will continue to put his protective armor around them and allow him to retire in peace. And just pray that our country will start healing more under the new administration getting ready to come in.
Amen. Amen. Are you through, Dr. Nuss?
Yes, I am.
All right,
all
this
right,
is Eric.
Then.
Let us pray. Gracious Father, we, the humble servants, come before you another Tuesday evening, another chance to study your word, another opportunity to grow in grace and understanding of who you are and how you would have us to be as being called Christians and Christ-like, servants of the Most High. Father, you have heard these petitions, and I could recall most of them, probably not all of them, but you know what they all are, Father. But I would especially ask you, Father, to be our groceryman, to feed those that are hungry and those who are in need of substance. of physical substance of food, Father, to meet their needs, to be our shelter and our stronghold, Father, for those who are homeless and those who are in homes that may not be exactly what they need at this particular point in time, but yet they're just scraping to get by, Father, trying to keep the weather off of them and just trying to be someplace where they can at least be a little bit safe, Father, but you know what they need. Repair those homes and build up those broken fences, Father, for we know that you are able. We ask, Father, that you would be the great recruiter, Father, that you would help us, those who are looking for jobs and need employment, that you would guide them in the right direction, that you would give them a spot of favor with the next person that they talk to about that employment, that it will be a great match for them, that they can go in and be a light to you, bringing honor and glory to your name in the place that they work, Father, for we know that you have a cattle on a thousand hills, so all of it's yours, Father. So we ask that you would be that great recruiter, Father. We ask that you would be a great redeemer, Father, for those of us who are struggling, trying to find our way to find you, Father, and stumbling all along the way, Father. But you said that you would make it so plain that a blind man wouldn't stumble and a fool wouldn't hear. And we ask that you do that, Father. We ask that you would be our strength and our comforter, Father, for we are all facing times of loved ones who are ill and sick and dying all around us, Father. But we know that you are able to sustain us. We know that you don't make mistakes. We know that all things are done for your glorification, Father. And sometimes you just have to prick our hearts to get us to hear that and understand that, because it's not always about us, Father. Even though we love those individuals and we care, we know that you don't make mistakes. And if you call one home, you call them home because you need them there with you and you want them there with you. So help us to understand that, Father. May you help us, Father, in our jobs, that you would strengthen us and that you would help us to see you in all that we do, even in the midst of the struggle and the arguing, the complaining, Father, that we would know that we're working on your behalf, Father, that your word would go forth in our churches and our jobs and our ministries and our hospitals and all that we do, Father. But we don't just put you on when we come to Bible study or go to service. We need to have you on every day, all day, Father. So help us to know that and to understand that others may see that in us, Father. And help us to be a reflection of your love to this world, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For you called us out of the world to be your disciples. Christ did that for us. He called his 12 disciples and he said, go make more disciples. And now in our generation and time frame, we are those disciples, Father. So help us to have that word and that light and that love that we may go forth and show that to the world who's praying for it, who's dying, Father, and yet we seem to be so nonchalant about what is going on around us, Father. We get so insulated with our own little fears and our own little thoughts and questions and answers, Father, that we don't see the world around us, God. Help us to see that, Father, and to move outside of those walls and those church buildings that we attend, Father. May your word be preached true and honest and authentic in those churches, Father, and in those small groups and in those casual conversations around the water cooler or walking on down the street or on the bus, wherever we may be, Father, that we have an opportunity to witness to those that are around us, Father. And for those that are listening, Father, who are looking for the love that we talk about, the love that you talk about in 1 Corinthians 13, Father, help them to see that. Help them to gain knowledge and understanding that spending time with you on a regular basis, making a commitment to do that, would yield more than we could ever understand. For your word tells us that the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, and not a fear of being afraid of you, but a fear of reverence, a fear of wanting to be with you.
Yeah.
And as we understand that, Father, we know that then that yields all things. For if we don't have love, we don't have anything. So, Father, help us to show that to this world. Help us to communicate that. Help us to live that and speak that. Help us, Father, to show you to this world. May your hand be upon us. May you guide and direct us. May you meet our needs and those things that were not even spoken, Father. For we give it all to you. We bring it before your throne. We leave it with you, knowing that if we ask in Jesus' name, that you will hear and you will move. For it's in your precious, matchless name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Blessings.
God bless y'all.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Yes, ma'am. $20.